Good afternoon. Can you all hear me? We have a series of important announcements to make today. Before I do so, I would like to invite the Health Minister to brief you on the latest testing figures. David.
Thank you very much, Chief Minister. As of today, it remains that the total confirmed number of cases stays at 23. We have now had 305 tests back in total, and we are awaiting 290 further tests. We have, however, had one case that was recovering in the community that has now had to be admitted to Nobles Hospital today. So it does show that the situation is still developing, and it is absolutely essential that people follow the advice that is being issued. Thank you, Chief Minister.
Thank you, David. Our primary objective has been and will continue to be the preservation of life. I've told you that we would take decisions based on advice from our clinic and public health professionals, the evolving situation on the island and the best interests of the island. The situation is changing fast, not just on the island, but also across in the United Kingdom. We speak on an almost hourly basis to our colleagues there. Now, they are ahead of us in the progression of the virus. We have been listening to them and learning from them. But I need to make clear that we have been making our own decisions. We are hearing the intense pressure they are under. The National Health Service across the United Kingdom is straining. Our island is smaller, our resources are more limited. Hospitals in the United Kingdom are being overwhelmed. I was shocked to see one of the flagship exhibition centres in London being transformed to an emergency hospital. Despite the excellent preparations across our own health and social care sectors, we need to accept that there is every likelihood that a moment will come where we are under the same pressures. We will continue to plan and to act, but we will have deaths in our community. Some of us will lose loved ones. We need to brace ourselves for that. I chaired an emergency meeting of the Council of Ministers this afternoon. We have decided that now is the right moment for us to move to the next stage of our plan. This will broadly mean three things. Number one, borders. We have already closed our borders to any non-residents. We will now move to extend this to all arrivals. There will be no commercial flights or light aircraft permitted to land at Ronaldsby Airport beyond the last scheduled flight tomorrow. The only exceptions will be for emergency medical transportation and the mail flight. We will also stop all passenger arrivals by boat. This will come into force from the arrival of the Thursday night Ben McCree sailing that is scheduled to arrive at 6 a.m. on the Friday morning of this week. We have already indicated that this was imminent, and we hope all of those who are planning to come home to the island will have done so. The only exception to these travel restrictions will be a very limited group of people who are necessary for our critical national infrastructure or for the preservation of human life. These people will need prior written approval before they are allowed to travel. This measure will be in place for an initial period of 21 days. We will keep this under review in light of the spread of infection on the island and the situation across in the United Kingdom. Freight will, of course, continue to come in as normal. Moving on to point two, shops. We have today agreed that from close of business tomorrow, Thursday the 26th of March, and certainly no later than 23:59 minutes tomorrow, in other words, 1 minute to midnight, all non-essential shops must close. This includes salons, libraries, essentially all retail spaces where people might gather and spread the virus. Exceptions to this list will include supermarkets and other food stores, pharmacies, petrol stations, banks, pet shops, vets and post offices. We will publish the exception list shortly. Item 3.3 is enforcing social distancing. We have talked in numerous press conferences about breaking the chain. You have heard from our Director of Nursing, our Medical Director and other medical professionals about the importance of social distancing. This is the single most effective manner for stopping the spread of the virus. If we change our behaviours, together we can reduce the spread of this cruel and unforgiving virus by 30%. I want to put this in perspective. According to the latest models, if we do not change our behaviour and over the course of the next 5 days infect an average of 2.5 people, within 30 days we will have over 400 new cases. But if we do change our behaviour and engage in 50% less contact, we may infect an average of 1.5 people, and then over the same 30-day period, we could end up with only 15 new cases. I've been heartened by what I've seen. People have, for the most part, been respecting the guidance. Shops have stepped up, and I thank you very much for that. On shops, I would like to say one additional point. I know that staff in our most essential shops are working extremely hard to support us. Please respect them. Please treat them with the courtesy they deserve. But we need to do more, and a small number of people are putting the lives of others at risk. We can no longer allow this to happen. We will therefore bring forward additional measures. If you or anyone in your household has symptoms, the message is simple. You must stay at home. If no one in your household has symptoms, then from the end of tomorrow, that's Thursday, we will require everyone to stay at home except for limited reasons, such as shopping for basic necessities, for example, food and medicines. But even this must be as infrequent as possible. A brief period of exercise each day, for example, a run, walk or cycle, alone or with members of your household only. Any medical need or to provide care or to help a vulnerable person. Moving under 18s between homes of separated parents. Travelling to and from work, but only where this is absolutely cannot be done from home. We will be bringing in powers to be able to give us on-the-spot fines to people who do not respect these rules on social distancing. We are not at this stage going to close popular places for exercises, for example, the promenades or glens. But if we see numbers of people congregating there, we will shut them. I am very mindful of the need for all of us to be able to get some fresh air. We want to maintain this ability for as long as possible. But the message here is simple. Yes, by all means, exercise, but do it apart. Be responsible. Stay away from other people. And it is not just about you passing on the virus to others. Ask yourself if you want others to infect you and your family. Now, we can move on to questions in a second. But before we do, I would just like to say a few personal words. When I came into politics, it was to do the best for the people of the Isle of Man. I never thought that I would have to make the decisions that we are currently having to make on a daily basis. But doing the right thing for our island remains my commitment to you today. The Council of Ministers has listened to the clinical experts. We are united in our view that now is the time to take the next step to protect our island. Please work with us. Play your part. Stay at home. Save lives on the Isle of Man. I'll now take questions from the press. And first I have Josh from ITV. Josh. Sorry, Josh, you're on mute. Okay, Joshua?
Hear me, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Chief Minister. Obviously, our thoughts go out to the individual who's been admitted to Nobles. And my question is, first of all, to you, as more shops now close, will the police be out on the streets more now enforcing this? And if not, or if so, how will this now be enforced to people who are going out?
Yes, we've been working with the Attorney General to put the necessary legislation in place under the Emergencies Act, and the police will be coming out to enforce this. Obviously, this starts at the end of tomorrow.
My second question is to the Health Minister.
David.
Hello, Josh.
Hi, David. My question is there any more developments on a facility being based in the Isle of Man for test results rather than having to send the tests off to the UK? And is there a time scale for this?
Yes, as I said in answer to Tim yesterday, we plan to have our own lab on Ireland within the next 3 weeks, which would be around about mid-April.
And is that still all on course to be there?
That is still on course.
Thank you.
Right, if we move on to Chris from Energy FM.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. First of all, could I just ask, and I don't want this to count as one of my questions, just a straight answer, in which age bracket is the person with coronavirus who has been admitted to hospital?
Sorry, I can't give out medical details of people. I don't think so at this stage. So that's something I can't. When we have more details, it's only just happened, but when we have more details, we'll let you know. But I can't give any details at the moment.
So you can't say if it's the older person who tested positive?
No, you'll get told when we know fuller details, but the confidentiality of patients has to remain key.
Okay, appreciate that. You say we have to brace ourselves for deaths. You also say you're speaking to the UK regularly and that their health service, as we know, is strained. This is a pandemic, so will they be able to take in Manx patients who are in desperate need of medical care when the time should come?
Well, it really depends at the state that they're at. When we reach, they are ahead of us in the curve of infections, and obviously they have a significant number of deaths. We will have to monitor how they get on, and therefore we have to ensure that we are as well prepared as possible, and that's why we've brought in these measures now.
The construction industry is one of the biggest in the Isle of Man. With government guidelines currently urging people to stay at home where possible and work from home where possible, could you please clarify the current advice for the construction industry? And if they are being asked to carry on working as usual, is that putting those workers at risk?
Well, a significant number of the construction companies have already closed for business. We will obviously have to have some workers continuing in the construction industry or the general industry, for example, plumbers, electricians, central heating, repair, maintenance people. Obviously, that sort of job still has to go on. We can't have people living at home with water pouring everywhere or no electricity or no central heating. So these sort of things are being looked at as we speak, and we will be putting out general advice. But at the moment, I think everyone's seen the in the UK, an example of big construction projects where there's thousands of projects going on. We clearly don't have that on the Isle of Man, but we are reviewing the situation at this moment in time. We envisage it will be for the maintenance of people's houses to enable them to safely live in their houses.
Thank you very much.
Right. Next, we have 3FM, Leanne.
Thank you, Chief Minister. My first question is, with self-isolation becoming more and more important, could you please explain how social distancing guidelines are being implemented on public transport, such as buses?
Well, obviously, we're asking people to keep the 6 foot, the 2 metre distance. The buses are regularly wiping down on the rails, etc., that people hold on to. We are reducing, obviously, the service that the buses will provide, that will be going online so people can see for themselves what the services will be. Obviously, we have to maintain services to enable key workers to get into work, but it will be on a reduced service.
Okay, and my second question, you mentioned before about implementing on-the-spot fines. Could you give us a rough guideline of if that will be similar to the UK, which is currently, I think, £30?
Yes, it's proposed that it will be the same as the United Kingdom.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Right, we have Paul from MTTV.
Before I start, the observation, you've moved all the information away from the government.in website to a specialist site now that you've created, but you've taken off all the information about testing and how many people are positive. Are you now not going to be prepared to issue that information before we start?
No, that's not the case, Paul. I think you're just, it's just, maybe it's just the changeover, but it's not intentional. We will be putting the same information we had before up. It's just trying to improve the website. There's so many hits and everything. We need to make sure we get the very best website up for the people.
So you need to be pointing people to covid19.gov.im, I'm guessing now. So that's what it's coming up as, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're getting a 1 in 10 hit on people having a test, which obviously is very low. Are the right people being tested? And I say this because a lot of people want to have a test. They feel they've got something wrong with them, but there are a lot of people being refused. And obviously that's affecting their health themselves because they don't know. So some people are getting as far as the test, but with only 1 in 10 being confirmed, are you targeting it right in that sense? Maybe a doctor or something could be up at the grandstand to look at people as well, because if it's a dry cough, I understand that's what you're looking for. A flu cough is not of interest to you, but clearly 1 in 10, and I know your resources are stretched, is that good enough? And have you got enough equipment for that to keep going to get above 30 tests a day?
Well, I think, Paul, we need to put this, first and foremost, the COVID-111 telephone number it screens the people that are then needing to speak to doctors, clinicians, who take the expert advice. It's not for me, it's not for you, it's not for the individual member of the public to decide who needs to be tested. We take medical advice, and if you go to your doctor, your doctor will prescribe for various treatments, and it's the same with the 111 number that we've set up. It's not just a general call centre. You will get proper medics taking a decision on who needs to be referred to be tested and who doesn't. So we have to respect the medical advice that we're given. I understand that anyone who gets a cold, exhibiting similar-ish signs, will be very concerned. I know when I get a temperature, I think, dear, I hope I'm not coming down with it. That's the sort of natural thing. So that's why we've set up this 111 number. It's not just a call centre. It is manned by professional medics who will give a decision based on their expertise on whether we need to test people or not. And the 30...
You're still only testing 30 people a day, aren't you? So 30 people is
Well, at this moment in time, we are testing. We have to remember that the UK testing centres are swamped, and therefore we can only do so many. We're having to wait slightly longer than we would hope to get those results back, which is why we are setting up our own testing centre on the Isle of Man to speed things up. But for the time being, the tests we are doing, if you do that as a proportion to the United Kingdom population, we are doing more.
Okay, my second question is still on the same subject, but it's testing and giving priority to key workers. When there's only 30 tests being done a day, clearly, I've had numerous reports of people who have had to self-isolate, but they're key workers in different fields, and Post, I think, is included in that. They're no better off. Is there no way of prioritising key workers to get a test when they require one?
Well, that's I leave that to our medical experts. They obviously are working under great pressure. They have to make sure they get it right and utilise the facilities to the best of their capabilities. And that's obviously something we take on board. But I have to leave that up to the medical experts to make that decision.
But you are losing people that should be at work because they're key people. If they're not infected, they get a quick
yes,
turnaround.
We get that, Paul, but that is we get that. But that is the decisions of who's tested is on based on medical opinion and not any political interference whatsoever. Okay, we move on to Alex at the BBC. Alex, you need to take your own mute.
Hang on, sorry, can I have the first question to the Health Minister, please?
Okay, David.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Alex.
Hi, David. Are you all well?
I am indeed.
I was just wondering, in light of this latest travel ban, you say you will still be sending people off island to attend medical emergencies, whether the criteria of medical emergencies will extend to particularly serious cases of COVID-19.
I mean, obviously, we are constrained by the capacity in the UK. In terms of medical emergencies, obviously, COVID-19 could classify as such. What we are trying to do is actually prepare as much as we can on Ireland, so we are not reliant on the UK. That's all the work streams we've been doing up at the hospital, because we need to be, throughout this, as resilient as possible. Because, as the Chief Minister has already said, the UK is already ahead on their curve compared to where we are, and it is important that we don't have an over-reliance on the UK. So we've been working hard in that regard to ensure that COVID-19 patients, we can treat as many as possible on Ireland.
And this next question is to either of you, actually, whoever would like to take the floor. In light of the UK Health Secretary's call for 250,000 civilian volunteers, will the Isle of Man government be issuing a similar call?
Well, I think you heard yesterday our head nurse say that they'd already contacted all people with nursing qualifications on the Isle of Man to go through availability, etc. We will be looking to, if we feel the need, or when we feel the need, to call for all sorts of help going forward. If I can just say, I'm more than happy to have a couple more questions from all of you. Obviously, I appreciate we've made some significant announcement today, and if you want to ask some more questions as we go on, then that's fine. So, again, Alex?
No, we can move on, Chief. Thank you.
Okay, right. Sam from Isle of Man Newspapers.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks very much, Sam.
Good, good. I just want to ask, early in the week, we had, obviously, the announcement from Mr. Cannon. We've had a fair number of people asking us about the finer details of this, what the construction industry in particular will be able to access. When will we be able to see more finer information on this?
Right, well, I understand it is an awful lot of people want this information. I know there's been an awful lot of phone calls made to the Treasury Minister and his team, and the Department for Enterprise and their team, and I will ask them to do a briefing tomorrow at some stage to you all, so that you can ask your questions on that in for a far more greater detail than I can give. That's something they've been working on whilst we've been getting on with this side of things. So we'll get that done for you tomorrow.
Since you said we'll be able to ask another couple of questions, just a quick one, I suppose. Have you seen an improvement in people's attitudes since you made the call 24 hours ago for people to step up their efforts in self-isolating and maintaining social distancing?
Yes, I have seen a significant improvement. Sadly, not a perfect improvement. And I know I've been getting complaints from shopkeepers and even the large supermarkets, who are saying that some people, a very small number of people, have been abusive to staff when they have been asking people to respect social distancing, where they've clearly put boxes for people to wait in. And that's why we are bringing in the regulations, so that this behaviour cannot continue. It's unacceptable. It's a very small number, and we will take action.
OK, thank you. And just finally, for the Health Minister, if that's OK, please.
OK, David.
Good afternoon, Sam.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ashford. We've had calls from people who are saying that they're presenting with symptoms and they're living with somebody who has already been tested positive for it. But they're saying they're ringing 111 and they're just being told to isolate and assume they have they will be positive for it. Does this mean potentially the cases that we're having confirmed could be a lot higher than we actually think they are? And is this perhaps not being done because we don't have enough facility to conduct more tests?
No, it is standard clinical practice, I believe, where there is a positive case and the family then starts presenting symptoms, then they will be asked to self-isolate as if they have actually had a positive test. Now, the reason for that is very, very simple, which is the point of the test, as Gregor pointed out when he did the press conference the other day, is so that we can trace it in the community and break the chain. It's not necessarily for the individual to say whether they are positive or not. So if they are in a household where there has already been a positive test, then basically they will be asked to self-isolate as if they have actually got it. Obviously, if their situation deteriorated and they needed hospital treatment, then the situation would change.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that.
Okay, Tim from Manx Radio.
Yes, good afternoon. Faster Mike, Chief Minister. It's for the Health Minister, I should have said. Sorry, first of all, if that's okay.
Okay, I'll ask David to step in.
Good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon, Minister. was listening and saw Professor Ferguson tell a House of Commons committee that the long-term exit from any restrictive measures, and we're obviously getting those now, entirely depends on finding a vaccine. Current measures purely designed to protect the NHS from being overwhelmed. And he mentioned it appears the only way for some sort of normality is to follow Singapore and South Korea, where nearly all were tested and there was a rigorous isolation for those testing positive. I won't go over the other points because I think they're being covered in other answers, but how many kits in total do we have here on the island in storage?
So it's not about kits, it's about swabs. That's the important point that I need to point out.
How many
swabs, swabs that are used. So after today's testing on island, we're down to 15, but there's another 500 literally on its way to the island tonight. So from tomorrow morning, we'll have 515 on island. And there is continuous orders placed thereafter. One of the key points I need to make about what was stated there to the House of Commons committee is our situation is different in the fact that we are a small island. So there's measures we can take that the UK can't potentially take. And that's exactly what these announcements today have been about.
Just for the Health Minister again, I mean, one case I've got told about is the members of the ambulance service who have been tested as positive. And we're hearing that they're obviously, or members are in self-isolation for the 14 days. So they're out of the game for 14 days. They've not been allowed to be tested. Obviously, if they got tested and it was negative, couldn't they then resume duties?
It doesn't work like that, Tim. Even if the test comes back negative, because you can have false positives, so to speak, and false negatives, they still have to maintain the 14-day isolation regardless.
Thank you. Can I just ask the Chief Minister one question?
Yes, no problem, Tim.
Got a call in here. My son and his partner and children are in isolation waiting for tests, so are not allowed out. My grandson and son are high risk due to health issues as it is. They're due benefits today and have been trying to get it paid into the bank instead of the MyCard due to having to isolate. Government's refused to put in the money in the bank as it's not an emergency yet. However, they need food, which they have to have delivered due to isolation. How can we protect our vulnerable persons if this is the result? Basically being told tough, you'll have to go to the post office and collect it or wait till Thursday.
Right, well, I know the Treasury Minister is looking at this with social security payments, and I would hope that we can come up with a solution as soon as possible. I can't give a detailed comment on that. That's something I will ask Treasury to maybe cover tomorrow when he's giving a talk on how the payments on the benefits can be made.
Thank you.
Okay, right. I'm conscious, Josh, that you only asked me a couple of questions. Is there anything further you'd like to ask? Chris, did you have anything? Leanne, would you like to come in?
I do, if that's okay.
Yeah.
We've heard from a number of people who have been waiting for more than 72 hours for test results. Maybe this would be better going to the Health and Social Care Minister.
Well, I've had that situation with constituents who've been waiting for more than 80 hours. And the problem is that there is delays off island in some of the test centres that we've been using. And it's getting longer with the sheer volume. That's why we're planning to set up our own testing centre. I don't know if the Health Minister would like to come in. He says I've answered it, everything on that, Leanne.
I've got just a bit of an additional. Somebody wrote in to us to say that they got tested last Thursday, so obviously, you know, it's nearly been a week. If the results come back negative, they have to self-isolate anyway for 14 days. So what would your advice be to that person who's perhaps waiting for up to a week for test results?
Well, I understand how concerned they will be, and I would be if it was anyone in my family. I'm sure any of you listening would be concerned. But this is something the world has not experienced since probably the Spanish flu pandemic, and those tests weren't out there at the time. Test centres in the United Kingdom are clearly being swamped by the massive volumes that they're having to do. We are getting results back on a daily basis, but sadly, some of the centres are taking longer than they would want to do, and we just have to accept that. I know it's really unfair and unsettling, but there is absolutely nothing that we can do about that in the short term, but hopefully in the next 3 weeks we will have our own test centre up and running. It's something we've been working on for a long time. It's not something you can quickly click a switch on, but we'll have that there to take away that pressure for people waiting for their results, Liam.
And does the same advice follow, not to chase test results, to wait until somebody phones you?
Yeah, we will be ringing back people. Obviously, I really do understand the concern. I'm sure we would all feel that if we were having to wait. But it is purely because the system, I'm not saying it's totally blocked, but it's just been swamped by the sheer number, and it's taking longer than anyone would expect to do. If I can move on to Paul now from MTTV.
Can we clarify, Chief Minister, exactly what putting the drawbridge up means? I mean, there are students abroad still trying to get back to the Isle of Man. What is going to happen to them? What happens to the people on the patient transfer? Have they now stopped? Is the airport closed except for freight? And what about someone has to go to a funeral or some life emergency off the Isle of Man? Are there anything in place for people like that to still move around at all?
Well, clearly, if you need to leave the island, that is your choice. You can leave the Isle of Man, but you will not be allowed back on for that period that we've just said, minimum of 21 days. And obviously we'll review the situation in the UK. So if you want to leave the island, we're not going to say no, you can't. But you will go fully aware that you will not be allowed back onto the island. The only exceptions.
How will they get off the Isle of Man?
Well, they will be able to go on the boat. Or there will be a plane to Liverpool where our medical people who need emergency treatment in the UK will still be allowed to go off the island for their treatment. But that will be only agreed general trips off the island for medical checkups. Obviously, that's going to stop. But if it's serious situations where you need to go away for treatment and that's agreed, then we will be allowing people to go off the island. And when they've had their treatment, come back, but they will obviously have to self-isolate. Now, you mentioned students. I think I've said a few days ago now, get back to the island. The education minister in Tynwald yesterday said, get back to the island. We will be stopping people coming to the island, who have the right to come to the island normally, from tomorrow evening by plane and by the midnight boat arriving, that arrives in at about 6 o'clock on Friday morning. If people do not get back by then they will have to wait in the UK till we review the situation 21 days later.
So but freight, days you will, right.
Freight
so
will
be potential in 21 days. Otherwise, the students could be overseas, and not just students, anyone could be overseas for, months, yes?
We just do not know at this moment in time, but we have made the decision based on medical advice that we need to stop people coming in to the island, and therefore we've respected that advice. That's what we've done. We've given warnings to people to get home, and they will be allowed home. Though obviously, we will be strictly enforcing any quarantine on people coming home from now on for the next day and a bit.
Now, and are you happy with the curve flattening? Because obviously the numbers have now, it's staying static. Do you think we're on top of this?
No,
it's
too early to say, and that's why we need 21 days to review the situation. So it's clearly here. It's spreading amongst ourselves now. It's not just people who've left the island, gone on holiday, caught it and come back with it. And therefore we need to take this severe, I suppose you could say, well, it is severe, isn't it? Approach so that we can now control it, see what happens, and then when we've reviewed the number of cases coming in on a daily basis after the 21 days, we will all have a much more detailed knowledge of where the Isle of Man is in this curve, and also where our close neighbour is, and the United Kingdom, in their curve of infections. And then when we've got all that information, we will obviously listen to the expert advice from our health and medics.
Finally, very quickly, is Tynwald going to be suspended now? Government, how's it going to operate?
That's not for me to say. I'm Chief Minister, but it's for the President, the Speaker and the Clerk of Tynwald's office. Obviously, when we had Tynwald the other day, the social distancing was observed. We were all moved around, some up in the galleries, etc. And therefore, that's what happened then. But it's for the President and the Clerk of Tynwald's office, really, and with the Speaker, to make that decision, not for me. Right, Alex, did you have anything that you'd like to add or ask?
Just a couple further, please. Yeah. Just in light regarding the the latest travel restrictions. We've got just under 48 hours until they come into place. Do we think 48 hours is too long of a gap? Why was it left until essentially Friday morning for the drawbridge to come up?
Well, obviously, that's purely for the boat. It's virtually effectively from midnight on Thursday night, because all the flights won't be allowed in from Thursday, the last flight on Thursday, and the boat will be sailing, the midnight sailing as it's known. So it's just to allow that to come in. We have to try and plan for these things. Obviously, this is something that's happened that's never happened before in the history of the Isle of Man, to the best of my knowledge. We haven't thought, we've really thought long and hard about doing such making such a serious decision as this, but we feel, based on the evidence from our medical and public health experts, that this is the best thing to do to protect the people of the Isle of Man. It's a tough call. It's probably the toughest call I've ever had to make as a politician, but we feel it's in the best interests of the people of the Isle of Man to make this decision now.
Thank you. And just a second question. Public transport networks in the Isle of Man are obviously being reduced. What about private hire taxis? Are they being taken off the road? Are they being advised to cease operations?
Well, that's being worked on at the moment. The taxi drivers may be able to help the island society with deliveries of food, etc. And this is something that is being worked on at this moment in time. We have worked with the taxi drivers to discuss how they clean their vehicles to reduce the potential spread. And that's advice that we will be giving soon on taxis.
Thank you.
If I move on, Sam, did you from Alman Newspapers, did you have any further questions?
Yes, so just a quick one for yourself or Mr. Rushford. Have we had any test results come back today? It's just like, is this the same number that we had yesterday?
No, we have had test results back today. I don't know the answer. Maybe the Health Minister might want to come in with that one, but that's information I don't personally have. But I know we have had results in today, Sam. David.
Thank you very much, Chief Minister. Sam, I think we've had around about 20, 25 test results, I think, on my maths back today.
OK, grand. Cheers.
OK, thanks very much. Tim, do you have any further questions for Manx Radio?
Just a quick couple, Chief Minister. I'll ask you, as you're at the podium, this one, which is... from a recent fellow of Cambridge University, who's worked with viruses for 12 years, and it's to do with shopping and supermarkets. This virus is known to persist on surfaces for 12 hours. The suggestions really are, and I've experienced the new shopping that is now a reality when you go to buy food in a supermarket today and limited numbers in and everybody's social distancing, and it's a drastic experience compared to normally going to the shop. They're calling for water stations, soap at the entrance and on the way out, and a chemical spray every time somebody's put their hands, gloves, whatever, onto a shopping trolley or basket handle, and the best ones known as Vercon. Is there more shops can be doing to, because they're probably the place of concern now. Shopping has become a bit more risky.
Well, and I think that's why I'm so pleased that they have been putting in the distancing measures and reducing the footfall through the shops to make sure that we are adhering to that. Now, obviously, there will be cleaning times put aside in all the stores, and our public health officers will be giving them advice on what is the best way forward. That's obviously something I can't personally comment on, but they will be speaking to and giving advice to the retailers of food on the Isle of Man.
And just a very quick question, if I may, for the Health Minister. I think he can hear as he's coming to the podium, so to save time, I'll start asking that question now.
Go on, Tim.
We did hear in the UK when they reached a certain number that they reckoned and projected there were vastly more cases of COVID-19. If we've got 23 cases and we're waiting for another 290 further tests, what are the projections for the amount of COVID cases we have here?
Well, in terms of the cases we actually have, it's still a relatively low number. The big difference between us and the UK at that stage is we are doing a lot more testing. So we are identifying a lot quicker. The Chief Minister touched on it earlier, but to put it into context, per head of population, we're doing five times the actual testing of the UK. So their modelling had to be based along the fact they weren't doing the community testing as much. And so that changes the figure. Obviously, there will be people out there in the community potentially that haven't been identified, the more mild cases. But any numbers in that relation would be speculation at this stage, because with our community testing ongoing, we have to wait and see what feeds back from that.
And are you confident as an island that we will get on top of this? Because if you work out per capita of population, the number of cases we already have is over double the UK.
But also the thing that's got to be key is we're doing more testing. So when you look at the figure per million, which is how it's normally calculated worldwide, don't forget we are doing five times the testing that the UK is. When the Prime Minister announced the other night that the UK was moving to 25,000 tests a day, that's the equivalent of us doing six tests here. We're doing a minimum of 30.
Thank you, Minister.
OK, well, can I thank you all very much and just finish by saying to everyone listening and watching this presentation, folks, we're going through a tough time in our history, unprecedented in living memory. But I have every confidence that if we all pull together, we will come out of this as successfully as possible. But we can only be successful and reduce the number of cases and fatalities on the Isle of Man by, as a nation, all working together and doing our bit. We in government are doing our bit. Our healthcare professionals, our police, our shop workers, our ambulance crew, our police, everyone is doing their bit to try and get us through this situation, including the media, who are doing excellent coverage on this. We're all doing our bit, but it's only by all pulling together as a nation that we will come out of this. And I thank everyone for their kind support that they've been giving to all of us as this progresses. So thank you all very much.